So in the spirit of God doing lots of things in people's lives and transforming people, I get to tell you or mention to you or actually just remind you that Easter is in 2 weeks from now. 2 weeks. And, you know, as you know, Easter is the highest number of people, period, in our church. We jokingly say sometimes that Christmas Eve is when most guests come, and Easter is when most people who are a part of the church all come together. But the reality is lots and lots of people visit churches all over the world on Easter. Maybe they grew up that way. Maybe they were invited. Maybe it was just time because they're at a point in their life where they need God to do something. But whatever the reason, they come, and they're a part of churches all over. And so because we are having all these guests is one of the reasons why we were deeply wanting to have our kitchenette done before then so that we can start having, coffee in large numbers and make it really comfortable out there. But there's a couple of things I want to invite you to participate with that really go along with resurrection life, with living in the Spirit, what we've been talking about in Galatians. And so the first one I want to share with you, that's not it, it's Absolutely Avalon, sorry. Absolutely Avalon is coming up, and if I'm not mistaken, that's next Saturday. So yeah, thank you everybody, because I don't have a calendar. I don't even know what today's date is. But Absolutely Avalon is this Saturday. We are getting together as a community, Avalon Park, to have just this big festival, and our church gets to have a presence right in the middle of it. And we're going to be hosting. You know, we're going to have a booth where crafts, our kids get to do free crafts. We're going to have free popcorn and water. And really, what we're hoping that we get tons of people there for is just to serve the kids who are doing crafts, talk to parents as they're waiting for their kids to do the craft and serve popcorn and serve water, give out those invite cards that you probably got when you came in, and invite people and say, listen, you are welcome. We would love to have you as a part of our Easter service. But regardless, we're just glad you're part of our community and we're a part of yours, and, you know, here's a gift. And so if you want to just participate with that, you can go to that website and sign up for a spot. If it's full and you're just at Avalon, Absolutely Avalon, do me a favor. Stop by for a while. Be there at the booth. Just say hi to people. Unless you can't smile, then don't. But if you can smile, be at the booth and just welcome people, because we want this community to know that we don't want anything from them. We want to be here for them, that we exist for them. And so I would love for you to be a part of that. I do know this. We've had a lot of people sign up. Nobody has signed up for Teardown. So there might be a life group out here where there's four or five people who are like, I'm willing to help Teardown. Did somebody sign up for you? Okay, good. No, we really could use that. When it's all over at 8:30, just tear everything down and bring it back to the church. We would really love that. And so if you're like, I don't want to do that link thing up there and get on the, you know, who has a phone that can get on the internet for crying out loud, then do me a favor, just mark it on the connection card and we'll get a hold of you. And then the next thing, though, I want to share with you. There it is. You received an invite card when you came in. If you didn't, they're all over the lobby and in the bathrooms. Please grab some on your way out. But I want to encourage you. We're going to have a ton of people here on Easter. This isn't about big crowds. I've shared that in my heart with you on that a million times. Having a lot of people in a room does not get me excited. That's not what church is about. Allowing Jesus to transform people's lives, now I'm excited. And so I already know we're going to have a big crowd on Easter. So I'm not trying to say, let's blow the doors off and just get lots and lots of people in a room. I just know this. People who maybe they were hurt as a child because of a church. Maybe like Hallie and Jonathan, they were told that God is just this God of wrath, and if you don't measure up, he's gonna smite you. People have a lot of reasons for not being a part of a church family. But every once in a while, something happens in life. Maybe you lose somebody close to you. Maybe you've moved and you feel completely disconnected. I don't know what it is, but we all get to points in our life where we're like, we need something more. And you and I know that Jesus provides that something more. But you and I also know that Jesus does that through people most often. And those people are us. And so, because people are more open to trying church, if you will, and I hate that term, but to giving it another shot on Easter, I want to encourage you, take one of those connection cards, those invite cards. Maybe take a couple. And if you know somebody who you think would really have a positive experience here, invite them to come with you. Just give the cards out. And because it could really change their life. You just never know. And I'm so excited because on that day, and this is one of the most fun things that we do, we're going to be doing this thing called cardboard testimonies, where we're inviting everybody to come up and just write on a card a couple of words of how your life was and what Jesus is doing in the midst of it. And I'm hoping to have 10, 15, 20, 25 people at the end of the service just get up and line up around here and come up one at a time and just show their card, flip it over and show what Jesus has done, because it is an encouragement to know that Jesus is still transforming lives. And I'm telling you, church, He is. He is. Let's share these stories with each other. So if you want to be a part of that, maybe God's been doing something in you and you're like, you don't have to talk. And you could come up as a couple. You could come up as a family. You can come up as friends. It doesn't matter. The whole point is just to share stories with each other. If you would be a part of that, if you have questions about that, you're like, I don't know if my story fits. Fine. Contact me. There's my email address. Put it on a connection card and I'll contact you. But I just know that one of the most exciting things we do is share stories about what Jesus is doing. And so I hope you'll be a part of that. I really do. And wouldn't it be hysterical if, you know, we'll have 400 people in a room in each service and everybody in the room's apart. I would love it. I won't preach that day if you do that. We won't be able to. It'll take that long and it'll be beautiful. But all right, thank you for allowing me the commercial, but Easter is like, I mean, do you realize Jesus really rose from the dead? Really? I mean, this isn't magic fairy tale stuff. This isn't a good Disney movie. This is the real stuff. 2,000 years ago, a man died on a cross, was put in a tomb. 3 days later, he rose from the dead. And how do we know that? We should do a class on that, because the world was changed. His disciples were changed. There's more evidence for the resurrection than that Shakespeare existed, that Charles Darwin existed. Probably not President Reagan. I was going to say that, and there's probably a lot in the modern information age, but there's so much evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. It's amazing, and that's what Easter's all about. I get excited. You can tell we baptized this morning. I'm like, let's go. All right, let's jump into Galatians, because this has been a long series. It's been a good series. Today's our final day. You know, Paul wrote this letter to Galatian Christians saying, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. But if you start tinkering with Jesus and start adding all of these things, these beliefs, these things that you do to be right with God, what happens is it's not that you've just added stuff. It's that Jesus plus anything equals nothing. It's a false gospel. That Jesus alone is sufficient to make us right with God. You can't be good enough, and you can't believe right enough to get to God. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. And that is some of the best news in the world, because no matter how hard you try, you can't be good enough. And no matter how much school you go to and how many great people in your life, you can't believe right enough. You just can't. Welcome to being a human being. But in Jesus and nothing else, we have everything. He is enough. You know what that means? That regardless of whether you're Catholic or Methodist or Baptist or Presbyterian, non-denominational, Assembly of God, whatever, regardless of race, background, culture, gender, no matter what you have done in the past, no matter what, no matter who you have become as a person, Jesus is everything. And in Him, we are unified. In Him, we are healed. Through Jesus, because of Jesus, we are one family. We're all on the same team. We're one people. And that is some of the greatest news in a very divided world that we live in right now. And for Paul, he demonstrated his love for these Galatians by his willingness to sacrifice for them, to suffer for them. And he would protect them if he had to give up his life. He loved them. And so that's what Galatians, it's been this long journey of this of Paul dealing with their with these false teachers coming in, and then with the Galatians struggling with their own identity, and then all of a sudden in these last couple of weeks we're dealing with the question, now what? Okay, Paul, we see all that God has done and all who Jesus is and who we are in Jesus, but so what? How do we live this out? How do we live in the Spirit? And so that's where we're going to start today. We're going to be in chapter 6, starting in verse 1, and here's what it said. Here's what Paul said to those Galatian Christians. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. Riley's not in here, is she? Okay, good. So Riley comes into our room 2 days ago. The reason I ask is because I always mean to ask them, but this one's good because it's a bad, I did bad, she did great. Okay, that's not true, but I did bad, so that's the story. She comes into our room on Friday. It's 50s day at school, and her outfit is not working. She's mad, and she takes it out on us. So I tell her to march her little self back into her room and get out of our room until she can change her tude. Now, the words that I said weren't the problem. Maybe. My wife might disagree. But my tude was the problem. My tone was not a loving father. My tone was a very angry person for waking me up this way. So Ray Lynn says nothing in the moment. She's smart and she knows me. But about 10 minutes later, she tells me, Don, you were a bit harsh. Now she was being nice and I started being a little defensive. By the way, I hate these kind of stories, okay? She's right. It was time to change. It's time to ask my daughter for forgiveness. Had Ray Lynn not confronted me, the moment would have slipped by and the chance to make it right would have been missed and everything would have probably been okay, but Riley would remember that moment, and if those moments stacked up, it would become a pattern. I'd probably just keep messing up the same way as well because Ray Lynn, you know, opening my eyes to this, you know, I'd probably do it again, but as she keeps opening my eyes to this, I'll get better. See, life in the Spirit is helping one another because we know one another. See, that's what family does. That's how a family expresses love to one another. See, the loving thing for Ray Lynn to do is not to ignore when the person closest to her hurts somebody or hurts myself. It'd be so much easier to ignore it and just to let it go by and for her not to confront me. But love is never the easy way, is it? Love is always the harder way. It always is. Having the hard conversations. See, this is how we fulfill the new commandment that Jesus gave us. To love as he loved. See, Jesus, I mean, he carried a cross for our burdens. And so here Paul is saying, in that same way, you carry one another's burdens. If my brother or sister in Christ falls back into that old broken pattern of life, let them know that not just that they're doing wrong, but that you're willing to walk with them through the journey. But see, those kind of conversations have to be done in relationship. They have to. My wife could come to me and tell me that my actions were not healthy. My life group, they can come to me and to do the same. The pastors and elders, they can do the same. The staff, they can do the same. Let me tell you, they do. Pastor Jim has confronted me several times saying, hey, have you thought about this? Or I noticed this, or I notice you're not healthy here. In relationship, they can do that. But without relationship, if you do that to somebody, it just feels like judgment. It feels like condemnation. If you've noticed, ever since I've been here, you know, for the last year and a half or whatever, I rarely call us a church. I almost always call us a church family. And the reason I do that is because for whatever reason, most of us have been raised to think of church as a building or a service. Are you going to church? Have you given to the church lately? We have a church activity. I don't like that because that's not what Jesus envisioned for the church. The church is a people, an ecclesia, a family, a group. Whether we meet in this building, whether we meet on the street, whether we meet in twos, fives, hundreds, it doesn't matter. When we are together, we are the church. We're a family. And if church is little more than a service or a building, you'll never be able to fulfill the verses that Paul is sharing with us here, because we need each other. We need to serve together in and outside of the church. We need to do life together. We need to eat meals together and laugh together. See, like everything Jesus calls us to, it's a new way of life. It's so upside down. I feel like the world should be about me. Jesus says it's about others. I think that that my needs need to be met before I can meet other people's needs. And Jesus says, no, it's when you're meeting the needs of others, that's when your needs get met. It's so upside down, so frustrating, and so darn true. Every time you're like, I'll do this. And then you realize, wow, that is actually inspiring and refreshing. But when it's all about me and when I buy what I want and do what I want, I'm always left holding the bag. I'm always left unhappy and unsatisfied. So we're supposed to walk gently and humbly with people to help them back onto the right path. It's not, hey, dude, you're screwing up, get it right. But no, hey, I see something in you. Let's work through this together. But then look at verse 3. He says, because if you think you're too important to help somebody, you're only fooling yourself. You're not that important. I love that passage because it's so for me. The Galatians, you know, they're not like us because they struggled with pride, right? They struggled with everything being about them and their way. They thought their version of Christianity was better than everybody else. Aren't you glad it's not like that anymore? Me too. The Galatians, they started dividing into factions, emphasizing one belief over another, one action over another. Man, I'm so glad we've gotten past this 2,000 years later. The Galatians are getting smug about the way they believe and act, holier than thou. Huh. And Paul's like, stop it. Stop it. At the cross, we're all equal. We all need Jesus. We are no better than one another. There is nobody better than another. If you think you are, you're only fooling yourself, he says. And when you think you are, you're destroying the family. This family that the Spirit is working inside of us to develop. And then, I love this, Paul turns his focus on each of us, our responsibility for ourselves. See, we're responsible for each other, but we're also responsible for ourselves. Look at what he says. Verse 4, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done, and you won't need to compare yourself to anybody else. For we are each responsible for our own conduct. I mean, like, quit judging each other. Quit worrying about, oh, I hate this because this is my weakness. Quit worrying about how you measure up to everybody else. Quit putting your value in your performance. Do the best you can. Pay attention to your work. Reach as high as you can. Because if you do, you will find satisfaction. You can look and go, you know what? I gave it my all. And I think when we do this, what will happen is that followers of Jesus will create some of the most amazing art in the world. I think that if we do this, if we pay careful attention, we will be some of the best leaders in the world, the greatest employees, the greatest bosses, the greatest parents, the best of friends. Why? So I can be accepted, so my value can finally be, you know, good because my performance is good? No. The reason we can be the best is the exact opposite. Because my value is found in Jesus. I'm accepted in him just as I am, and because of that, I'm part of his family and I'm free. I'm free to risk now. I'm free to experiment and create and explore, because guess what? If I fail, it's okay. When I fail, I'm not going to be rejected. I'm going to be given a second chance and a third chance. One of the things, and this is not in my notes, so I'm going to try to make it quick because I know time is limited. Tim Tebow, I've never been a college football fan, so I didn't know him very well, but I followed his story like everybody else, and I remember him saying, I am not a football player. I'm a follower of Jesus who plays football. And I was like, man, that is amazing. especially for a 19, 20, 21-year-old at the time when he said it. But that is exactly right. I am a follower of Jesus who can work the best, do the best, and whether I make the NFL or not, whether I, you know, all this junk happens to me or not, it doesn't matter. I do my best because I'm a follower of Jesus, and if nothing works out, if everything fails, it's okay because my identity was not in that. My identity was in Jesus. And I think that's what Paul is telling us. Be responsible for what you do. Pay careful attention to it. I also, as I think about how to apply this, don't blindly listen to some teacher, some pastor, some TED Talk. Somebody said, amen, I'm the pastor. I'm just kidding. Amen is right. Don't just listen to a teacher, a pastor, a TED Talk, a politician. Examine what you read and hear. You are responsible for what you do and how you act, and the way you believe influences what you do and how you act. So question it. Measure everything against this command that Jesus plus nothing is everything, against Jesus' command to love as he loved. Measure everything against Jesus. Because so many people keep adding stuff, and they're good people who have a false gospel. These are good churches. By the way, this is us. We struggle with this so easy. I mean, I can't tell you since we've started this series how many conversations I've had with you, one-on-one and in groups, because we're like, yeah, but what about? What about? And when we say, I mean, is Jesus' blood powerful enough to cleanse everything except that? And oh, that's true. But what about, listen, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. It's hard. Measure everything you hear. Are they adding to salvation? Are they adding to what it takes to be right with God? Pay careful attention to your own work. And then he turns back to us as a group. Those who are taught... I'll get to it. Those who are taught the word of God should provide for their teachers, sharing all good things with them. I have not heard this passage preached very often, but every time I've heard this verse preached, it was always about justification to why it's okay to pay your pastors well. All pastors want to be paid well. Everybody wants to be paid well, right? As good as that sermon is, I don't think that that's the limitation of what he's talking about here. Because I really believe he is talking about a church family growing in maturity together, living out our faith together, being on mission together, sacrificing together. It doesn't just include money. Yes. Well, and actually, let me do a sidebar. A couple months ago, I shared with you how, you know, since I've been here, the transition of me coming in was difficult, and we had pretty much never made budget for 1 month since I'd been here because we knew the transition was going to be hard, and, you know, a lot of people left in the transition and all that kind of stuff. And I shared with you, you know, here's where we are, here's what we need. And I want you to know, I was so blessed this week when I saw the report. We made budget the last 3 weeks in a row, just boom, boom, boom. And I want to thank you. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your sacrifice and for contributing to the mission that we have together, because I'm telling you what, every ministry leader in here, their budgets are small. And when you're told, I'm not sure if you're going to be able to spend your budget, it gets really hard and it's demotivating and it's frustrating. But when you know this is my budget and this is the ministry that we want to do and the people we want to reach and how we want to impact the world, and you know that you can spend that money, or let me say invest that money, I tell you, it makes a world of difference. So thank you. Thank you for that. But this is not about sharing just money. This is about all good things, sharing your gifts and your talents. Do you know that the Bible says that every follower of Jesus is a minister? Everyone. Each of us has gifts and talents and passions for that are to be used for the kingdom, so that the kingdom can be on heaven as it is, or on earth as it is in heaven. I want to encourage you, church, you have permission to do what God's created you to do. Whether it's in the church or outside the church, you are a minister. You are equipped and empowered. Go in Jesus' name. Maybe you're a great artist. Maybe you're an engineer. Maybe you make great spreadsheets. Maybe you're a good teacher. Maybe you love serving the homeless or making people feel welcome in your home. Maybe you your passion is rescuing people from human trafficking. Go together in Jesus' name. Fulfill the reason for which God made you. Be a minister. Be his hands and feet in the world. Don't hoard all your talents and all your gifting to yourself. That's the context that Paul says the next verse, which is very familiar to many of you. At least it probably in the NIV. This is the NLT. It says, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You've heard it. God is not mocked. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit, you will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. We know this. I mean, if you live for yourself, we've said it over and over, you're unsatisfied. When you try to fulfill your desires, they never are fulfilled. But when we live for Jesus, when we live for the Spirit, we experience life in a way we never could have imagined. That's what God's called us to, being a part of his eternal transformation in people's lives. Because people are desperate. They need hope. They need peace, life, fulfillment. They're ready for it. They're hungry for it. And that's exactly what Jesus offers. So he sums it up. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. Sometimes we're so tired, aren't we? Let's not be tired of doing what is good. Because when you're tired, and when you feel like, man, I've been doing good all the time, so it's time for me to get what I want. Paul is saying, don't give up. Don't give up. Have faith that Jesus is faithful and that the race you're running is not in vain. I think when I was looking at this, I was just thinking of single moms. You're so tired. And it's single dads. You know, single parents, you're so tired, and it's like the only time you get for yourself is the 3 minutes between when you put your kids to bed and you try to go to bed. And don't give up. Have faith that Jesus is faithful, because at the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. And therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. If you see a need in here, meet the need. If you see somebody who is hurting, love them. If you see somebody who needs moving, move them. If you see people who are hungry, feed them. Don't tire of doing good. Be strong and persevere. And then the last verse we're going to talk about today is verse 14 and 15. Look at these words. What a way to close a book. Man, Paul, you're so good. As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified. And the world's interest in me has also died. It doesn't matter what people think of me anymore. It doesn't matter whether we've been circumcised or not, the issue throughout the whole book. What counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. While most of us, we've all experienced the old world, the old creation, where we work hard and feel like we never are satisfied. But in God's creation, his new creation, in the power of God's love that's revealed in the cross, in the power of life that is displayed in the resurrection, new birth comes from old. The Spirit-filled life is what we are called to live. God has unleashed his new creation and Jesus invites all to share in its blessing. What a promise of hope for the future. So as we end this Galatians series, I want to do a couple of action steps for you, because we always have to ask, okay, great. Paul said that to them, so what for us? Now what for us? Therefore, what do we do? So three things. First, the way this passage started, we need help overcoming arrogance. We need to help see ourselves with a new perspective. We need others to help us see the real deal about what we're like. I mean, when somebody in your life screws up, when they disappoint you, when they let you down? What's the knee-jerk reaction? Obviously, mine the other day was anger, maybe judgment, for sure disgust, maybe rolling your eyes. Don't, no nudges. But see, those are old world responses. Those are not what does love require of me responses. See, a Jesus-centered response to sin is this: leave your gift at the altar and seek to repair the broken relationship. Jesus' response is that to do what the Father does. He runs toward a rebellious son. The son is expecting rejection, but instead, what does he get? An adoring hug from his Father, who is humbled, who is running towards him. But God demonstrates his own love to us, that while we were yet sinners, before we even tried to go on the journey home, Christ died for us. Before we repented, before we felt guilty, before we even recognized a need for God, God was already there loving us. He was already dying for us on that cross. Many of us, all of us, we need to overcome our arrogance by recognizing how God found us. We, every single one of us, we were in desperate need for Jesus. We still are. And unfortunately, arrogance, somebody told me this a couple weeks ago. I love it. So I don't remember who it was. If it was you, thank you. Great illustration. Arrogance is like bad breath. Sometimes you're the only one who doesn't know that you have it. So let some people share it with you. All right, so how do we overcome arrogance? Last two steps, and I'll run through this. First, we need community. We need to allow others to recognize our mess and restore us gently. We need to be known by people and to know people. We need to invest in relationships. We need to invite people to lunch after church. We need to join ministry teams just so that we can work together. We need to get in life groups. If you need to find a life group, or maybe you are even interested in possibly leading a life group, let me know. Mark your connection card, because I have a goal that 100% of our church is in healthy life groups. It's going to take us a little while, but I believe we're going to get there. But then finally, so we need each other, but we also need the power of the Spirit in us. And this week, Jerry Sharpless, you gave me a great picture of in a website that I blew me away this week. They called it spiritual breathing. Living by the Spirit is breathing. Inhaling and exhaling. Receiving from God and giving to God. Jesus died to offer us peace and life. Receive it by grace. And then sometimes anger and resentment and judgment can well up in us because of whatever. Exhale and give it back to God. I'm sorry, Lord. Confess the betrayal of your heart towards him, and then breathe in and allow God to take that anger and restore it. Breathe in and pray the Psalms. Read the words of Jesus. Allow the Spirit to change who you are. And then exhale and give your life back to God again. Inhale. Exhale. Everybody in the room, I want to encourage you to begin inhaling. You know, I love offering you some ways to do that. And this week, I found two devotions in the YouVersion app that I'd like to recommend to you. You can download the app, and actually the links to these are in the app if you go to our event that's today, the service. But you can just open up the YouVersion app and search these two things. Take a picture of it if you can't remember. But one of them's geared specifically for men, one's geared specifically for women, and I did not do that intentionally. It just happened that way. But I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. Spend some time this week inhaling, allowing Jesus in his Spirit to saturate your life and to change you. And if you're not a follower of Christ, I truly want to invite you to choose to follow him today. Jesus is longing to walk with you. The whole purpose of him coming was to die and rise again, to offer us life, to invite us. He has been running towards you your whole life. He won't force his way in, though. He is a gentleman. He's waiting for you to accept him. And I want to invite the band out. I want to invite the prayer team that we have. Would you guys come up here? Because I just want to spend a couple of minutes just allowing you and allowing me to allow the Spirit to minister to us. I want to pray that God will do something in your life. Maybe you need to repent of living your own way and being your own God. Maybe you just need to say, Jesus, I have been relying on myself for so long and it's not working. I need you. Maybe it's just time to say, enough of fear. Enough of trying to live up to everybody else's expectations. I don't know what it is. But during this song, I don't want you to sing this song as a song. I want you to sing this song as a prayer. Would you stand with me? This is going to be a time for you to allow God to do what He wants to do in your life. Maybe you need prayer. Maybe you just need to pray with somebody. We have this amazing prayer team up here. They are brilliant and they are good prayer. They pray me under the table. They do. They are amazing prayers. Maybe you just need to come up and pray with them. There's some steps here. Maybe you just need to come and kneel and just you and Jesus time. It's open. Don't worry about what anybody else is thinking. Maybe you just want to sit down and pray or kneel there. Or maybe you just want to stand and sing this song as a prayer. We have a couple more minutes together. Maybe the Spirit's been doing something in you. Don't quench it. Allow God to work and say yes and do whatever He's calling you to do. Let's pray together. Jesus Christ, You are our Messiah. You are our Lord and our God. You plus nothing equals everything. But Lord, we are so just caught up in ourselves and our lives and all the stuff we have going on, our jobs, our school, our kids, our spouse, our boyfriends and girlfriends, all the stuff of life. And it can get us just so worn out and tired. Help us in this moment offer it to You. We need to inhale and experience Your Spirit, Your grace, and Your peace. And we need to exhale and give it to You. Give You our fear and our frustration, our pride and our arrogance. Use this time for Yourself, Lord Jesus. This is Your time. In Your name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.